This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome one and all to the place where all the bad ideas come to live and hang out.
It's their home.
Yeah, that's their little exclusive treehouse where they all get to hang out together and compare how terrible they all are. And we forlornly knock on the window and ask for a couple of them to come out one at a time and then try to turn them into the basis for good stories. How are you guys doing today? Are you excited to dive into some badness?
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, especially because you described this as basically a kidnapping show. I'm pumped.
the excitement will only grow, Sarah.
Excellent.
as you hear about this first story. So there's a couple of things that I love about this idea. I'm gonna pump it up just a little bit before we get into it. There's a couple of bad ideas I feel that we talk about in this show where it's like, oh, that's something that the odds were against you. You know, like, yeah, you should have seen that was not gonna work out for you. And then there are some that I'm just like, in what universe could anyone have possibly thought that there was even a 1% chance of this working out? And still, they like committed really hard to this thing that they did. They would need to be some kind of superhero to pull this off, if you see where I'm going.
Cool.
And so without further ado, let's jump into our first bad idea for the show from our good friends at the Huffington Post, and featuring our favorite superhero, Florida Man.
The champion we deserve.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's been a while, but you'll see what he's been busy with.
Okay.
Yeah, he was busy. So the headline reads, Florida Man proposes using rings stolen from other lover.
Oh, wow. It was bound to happen eventually.
Keeping it in the family. Okay.
Keeping it out of the family, rather.
It's an expanding circle.
The human family, Gabrielle.
I suppose so. So, the article reads, a Florida man stole an engagement ring and wedding bands from a girlfriend and used them to propose to another girlfriend, according to authorities. Volusia County's sheriff's deputies said Thursday that they have issued an arrest warrant for Joseph Davis, 48, who has not been found as of Friday. Their investigation started earlier this year when a woman from Orange City, Florida, told detectives she had discovered her boyfriend was actually engaged to someone else. When she looked up the fiancé's Facebook page, she noticed a photo of her wearing a wedding band and engagement ring that was identical to her own from a previous marriage, the sheriff's office said in a news release. When the Orange City woman checked her jewelry box, she found her rings were missing, as were several other pieces of jewelry, including a diamond ring that belonged to her grandmother. The total value of the stolen property was about $6,270, according to the sheriff's office.
Holy shit.
The Orange City woman reached out to the fiancé, who returned some of the items, and they both called it off with Davis, who also went by the names Joe Brown and Marcus Brown, the sheriff's office said.
You know, it's always a good sign when your lover has more than one
multiple pseudonyms across county lines.
The
fiancé, who lives in Orlando, told detectives she had been duped, too. Davis once took the fiancé, this is my favorite part, once took the fiancé to a house that actually belonged to the Orange City woman while she was at work and claimed it was his. He then asked the fiance to move in with him, but then he disappeared. By that time, the fiance discovered her laptop computer and jewelry were missing, the sheriff's office said.
Oh, man. Wait.
Even though...
Who found their... I'm losing track of who's losing what.
Everyone okay. losing everything.
Yeah, so who he's screwing the over orange, in what way?
So the Orange City woman has her jewelry, including wedding bands from a previous marriage, stolen.
Yeah, this is the person with the house?
No.
No.
Excuse me. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. She owns a house. The fiancé, who was proposed to with the stolen ring, is then taken to the house. The guy pretends that it is his house, mm-hmm. asks her to move in with him.
And then totally ghosts.
A couple later, ghosts taking the fiancé's laptop computer and some jewelry with him when he disappears.
That right. That lady or the woman with the house?
No, the fiancé, not the Orange City woman.
Oh, Christ.
Orange City woman still has her laptop, presumably.
Yes,
I understand. Correct. So he's screwing over everybody the maximum amount.
Yes.
Yes. I understand yes. now.
Like a superhero of terribleness.
Wow.
All right. Article continues. We're not done, kids. Even though they did not have his real name, the jilted women remembered he had a relative in North Carolina, and detectives were able to track down the relative who identified Davis, according to the sheriff's office. Davis has an active arrest warrant for a hit-and-run crash with injuries in Oregon and previously had been arrested for possession of fictitious ID, filing a false police report, domestic assault, possession of cocaine with intent to sell, and other minor offenses, the sheriff's office said. According to the sheriff's office, the jail where Davis previously was booked noted he had a tattoo on his left arm that said, "Only God can judge me."
Wow.
Holy shit.
Apparently that's true. Just like straight up.
I mean, as long as you stay ahead of all the people trying to judge you, you know, as long as you outrun them.
Or at least Jeez other Louise. People's judgments have yet to slow him down.
Right. No, right. hasn't made a dent, really.
Wow. So a couple things come to mind.
Well, one moment. Let me start the timer here. 10 minutes on the clock.
You've heard of himbos? Like, kind
yes.
of like...
Yes.
Dumb, handsome guy. I feel like he's like the scumbo. Like he's just like like that guy in any like sitcom universe, animated universe that's just like never up to any fucking good.
Well, and you see what I mean, though, of like it's one thing to be evil. And this guy, I think, like qualifies. But like on what level did you think that this was sustainable? Like on what level did you think that this is something that you could
well considering he started in Oregon and now he's at Florida.
You're not like, wrong, actually. Yeah, he's gotten away with a lot, it seems.
Yeah, like this is a where in the world is Carmen Sandiego level of douchebag.
Yeah,
he's gonna circumnavigate the globe. Like it's not, you know,
right. I mean, she did get awesome stuff, like, you know, the Sphinx, and he's like jacking ladies' laptops.
I mean, I'm not comparing the two of them.
Okay.
One of them is very awesome, and the other is not. Especially the animated series. It's very good.
I'm sorry. My instinct to defend Carmen Sandiego kicked in.
No, it's quite rightly. But, like, this put me in mind of the one-and-done canceled TV show Drive, where a man is forced to drive across the country at high speed to save his wife. And this guy just seems like he is forced by some twisted, broken part of himself and or maybe a demon curse to steal things as he moves across the country.
Right. Like you kind of have to go in that direction to like have anything that is even approaching a sympathetic motivation of just kind of like, no. There is a demon in his like
it's it follows, like, but with wedding rings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
like
right.
And if he doesn't go a week without stealing it, without stealing something, then, you know, some terrible Final Destination type things start to happen.
Right.
So if either of you heard the writing adage, the advice of cut as late into the story as possible.
Yes.
Yes.
So what if we open on literally thousands of women just like have a barricade around a seedy looking hotel and they're like radioing he's inside. And it just like the beginning of a 90 minute just like I mean, I, like just old time justice. They've just like they have the sort of citizen's arrest.
I'm down for this if it takes place in like frontier era Dakota territory. Like, I think Okay. Modern day, I've got some questions.
So it can't happen in like Chaz Chop and like just like some lawless 2021. No, we probably want to go period with this. I think that makes sense.
But like there was, what was it called? Like Godless or something, which was supposed to be this like super awesome female driven Western. And it ended up just sucking with Michelle Dougherty, who deserves better television shows.
Michelle Dougherty deserves wonderful things.
She does. But like an actual gang of female sort of like Rangers who are hunting down this guy who just keeps stealing things. I'm down for that. That sounds like fun. And we make it about, you know, he's just kind of like the target, sort of like True Grit style. And it's really about sort of like this posse of ladies who are all badass. And then, you know, there can be one himbo there, perhaps played by Matt Damon. Who knows?
Play your cards right, Matt. / call us.
So I am. So, like, this is sounding like it's, you know, like a badass group of ladies track down this guy. And, like, Yeah. Maybe, like, kind of like Kristoff from Frozen is also along for the ride.
I love
just
it.
To kind
I love
of
it
be
so
there.
Much.
In this new setting, in this new skin,
sure.
What is this guy's crime? Like, is he kind of someone that is specializing in kind of seducing widows and then stealing their wedding rings for some reason that is known only to him? Is he doing something different?
Well, I mean, we can go a couple directions. And I'm curious what your take on this is, Sarah. My gut goes to, we can either like really lean into the sort of supernatural like possibility that this is just like a cursed man that just compulsively does these things and maybe has some sorts of like magical capabilities that allows him to literally put people under spells. And then there's like the Coen brothers version where he's just like a compulsive fucking rat bastard. And just like a kind of like common con man that is just like young enough and like facial symmetry enough to be like, you know, appealing. And just is like practiced at one thing, and that's lying.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it could go either way. Talk to me about the supernatural element, though. Like, does he need the rings for spells? Like, I see like why someone would do this for money in sort of a more naturalistic, although still heightened setting. But like, if there's a supernatural curse on this dude, then I think like we're going to have to get to the bottom of that curse, too.
Absolutely. And I think his larceny would have to be a little bit more specific. Like he's going after the keepers of, as you say, like some magical MacGuffin artifact like rings to like pull something together. Like I don't know why Ghostbusters just popped into my head, but just like the idea of some spirit inhabiting a human skin and just like running around kind of doing a checklist of errands so that like the big bad can show up is like an easy pull. But then the question is like, is he going after the rich widows of like the oil barons that happen to have these like, you know, mythical crystal skull type things from their oil baron days?
No,
Zach, I think that you're going to find that the real question is who you're going to call.
Ghostbusters 4? Which one are we on now? What is this?
I don't know.
They're rebooting it again.
But this would be the prequel. This would be like the really intense prequel.
Ghostbusters
This would be like
Zero.
The 150 years earlier prequel.
Yeah. No, and it's the perfect tie-in because then the ghosts of the heroes can show up in later Ghostbusters movies.
I'm sorry, Sarah. Continue in the 2 minutes and 30 seconds that we have left.
Oh, phenomenal. I would just say either way, like maybe these ladies have like deeds to homesteads and that's what's getting stolen in addition to jewelry and stuff. It's just like, this is sort of,
I see,
you know, a guy who's trying to consolidate all of the homesteads so that he can build like a big cattle ranch or an oil ranch or something like that. And slash also maybe open a Hellmouth.
And there's a certain amount of like, oh, I hadn't heard that Mrs. Brewster got married again, but you have like the Brewster family ring with like the insignia. Like, yeah. So like, that's legit. I guess I can give you the deed to that territory.
Right. I feel like it probably makes sense for maximum suspense that this guy is actually a lackey. And like one of the twists we find out is there's actually a, you know, a worse guy that actually needs the land for some evil ritual or,
guy is 100% the Silver Surfer to some really terrible Galactus.
Right. But we think he's like shot like Javier Bardem in that fucking like cow prodder murder movie.
Yeah,
baby. No Country for Old Men. So we think he's the worst, but then there's somebody worse than him.
No, and then the sort of, friendly, if slightly too chummy, but helpful, Easterner in town with like the fancy cravat and stuff is actually the bad guy.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Spats are always a bad sign.
No, don't wear spats, guys.
Yeah, he rolls into town on the first train that makes it out west. Mm-hmm. He's just been waiting.
Yeah.
In the 44 seconds that we have left, who is the main character? Because I presume that there is perhaps like one central focus character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perhaps played by Michelle Dougherty. And I don't know whether she's been wronged or whether she like is investigating like her sister's farmstead and her sister is missing or something like that. But then, you know, in town finds all these other ladies and brings them all together into a super force. Taylor Swift will want to be involved, but we can discuss that at some other date.
I was going to say, so you're saying that there's some real bad blood between all the parties here.
That is what I'm saying.
Excellent. Okay.
You can even call it bad blood. Be great.
Could you now?
That's actually pretty good.
I don't know. You don't want to work on like Till Death Do Us Part?
Hellmouth County has a ring to it.
I don't hate that at all.
Yeah. Well, folks, that is time. So my God, you took this Florida man premise and ran to the complete opposite side of the country with it.
Much like this man did. We honored the spirit of the idea.
No, I'm terrified, but also thrilled.
Excellent.
Just all T words all around for how I feel right now.
Why, hello there. It is I, Zach Valenti, here to solicit your support with this brief message. If you haven't heard, we here at Long Story Short Productions HQ are running a Share the Magic campaign where you can grab a custom link to share your very favorite episode of our latest audio fiction program, Unseen. Head on over to share.unseen.show to snag your unique link. And if you bring at least one person to the party, you will be automatically entered to win some awesome exclusive Unseen merch. One more time, visit share.unseen.show to learn more and help share the magic today. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas. And welcome back, everybody. I am delighted to bring the second serving of badness for today's episode. Are you guys ready for more?
Always ready for more. I'm inexhaustible.
Oh, we'll see how you feel after this. From MPN News, quote, "At first I thought it was a joke," end quote. Academic Media Censorship Conference, censored by YouTube.
I'm exhausted.
So this is fairly recent. And I won't read the whole article, put the link in the description for anybody interested. an academic critical media literacy conference warning of the dangers of media censorship, ironically, has been censored by YouTube. The Critical Media Literacy Conference of the Americas 2020 took place without incident online over 2 days in October and featured a number of esteemed speakers and panels discussing issues concerning modern media studies. Mm-hmm. Weeks later, however, the entire video record of the conference, an estimated 24 hours of content, disappeared from YouTube. Organizer Nolan Higdon of California State University, East Bay, began receiving worried messages from other academics, some of which shared with Mint Press, who had been using the material in their classrooms, noting that it had all mysteriously disappeared. Quote, "At first I thought it was a joke," said Mickey Huff of Diablo Valley College, California. "My initial reaction
was, institution.
What? Yeah, no,
that's
what
absurd." Yeah, right. right in the valley of the last idea, the Hellmouth County. "There must have been a mistake or an accident or must have got swept under somehow. There is no violation. There was no reasoning. There was no warning that this was not, there was not an explanation. There was no nothing. The entire channel was just gone," he told Mint Press. Huff is also the director of Project Censored, an organization that sponsored the event, which also sounds like something the CIA is doing.
That sounds like a party of sorts.
You're right. Higdon suspected that it was the content critical of big tech monopolies like Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter that was the reason why the channel was deleted.
I mean, that does seem a little bit like thumbing your nose at someone, whether they deserve to be... to get a nose thumbed at them or not.
Speaking truth to the power that can pull the plug on your channel.
Yeah.
Quote, "Each video was a different panel, and every panel had different people from the other ones, so it's not like there was one theme or person or copyrighted content in all of our videos. This seems to be an attack on the conference, not on a singular video," he said. And there's more. It becomes sort of a broader flashlight beam at the wider story of censorship and big tech and all this, but I will leave you with this choice quote, which was somebody commenting on this conference, noting that their sponsors and professionals from Stanford and UCLA, "This wasn't a keg party with Parler users." I just love that quote. "This wasn't a keg party with Parler users."
So cool, with that,
I mean, but after hours, who knows? Like, yeah,
I mean, I wasn't there. Who knows?
Yeah, like those Stanford professors.
Once the live stream turns off,
they can party.
What I do know is you guys have 10 minutes on the clock.
All right, Sarah, what have you got for this? I have an idea, but it runs a little bit far. So I'm curious if you have something that's a little closer to this.
And for the record, the bad idea here is the fucking on the noseness of a censorship conference getting censored.
Yeah, and that's why I'm sort of heading in like a producery direction of you can make more money with a cry of censorship than with a conference.
It's probably true.
Right.
And like intentionally getting banned so that you can become a martyr and can grift from people who care about that kind of things is the kind of story that's occurring to me. But that's a story that's very close to things that happen in the real world.
I was going to say, Sarah.
So what do you got?
Who would believe that would be possible?
Oh, no.
Come on. In the year of our Lord 2021? After the events of 2020? Never. No,
never.
Sir.
No.
So the place where my mind goes to is like a little bit more of a sci-fi direction. Uh-huh. Some sort of situation where it's like a very Stepford Wives, Truman Show society, where everyone is perfect and they have like their pre-assigned roles. And the thing that people don't realize happens because the powers that control this environment are so powerful that they can actually go in and edit people's brains is that, say, you know, like if those ecology professors start to get a little uppity and start to maybe have like a couple of rabble rousing sessions, maybe start asking too many questions about why we can't go more than 3 miles out of town, all of a sudden, boom, they disappear and they're gone. And nobody even remembers that, like, ecology professors were a thing.
Right.
And so this happens one time, but something goes wrong in the system. And one guy remembers a group of people, whether he was a part of them or not, that disappeared. And I think it needs to be a profession. And then specifically, I think it needs to be, like, fucking clowns. Like, it needs to be one of these, like, absurd professions rather than, like, you know, members of any particular group beyond something that can be chosen as a career.
Right, right, right.
And so then it's kind of him going around and being like, people, fucking clowns. And everyone's like, what the fuck is a clown? And they're like, he's like, you know, like with the makeup and the big wigs and the noses and the balloon animals. And people are like, security, we have someone that needs like their meds adjusted or something.
This is my only issue here is that like the sort of only sane man in, you know, a puppet show town, like, he gets also carried away very quickly, one would assume.
Right, right. And I don't have a good answer.
And by carried away, you mean like frog marched by the powers that be.
Yes, I mean like taken to the Ministry of Truth.
Exactly, like, right, that's what I mean. That was exactly what I was going to ask, is like, how many people does he get to ask before the van picks him up?
Right, right. And yeah, and it's one of these things where... There's I think two ways to go about it. If it's a more comedic tone, then the answer is that for whatever reason, the powers that be have to be hands off. And, you know, and like they cannot interfere with anything inside the dome directly. They can only affect people's minds remotely. So they can convince all the clowns that, oh, no, I'm not a clown. I'm an accountant. But they can't like go in and remove the guy physically. So they kind of have to rely on other ways to do it. If it's a thriller, then like he has to be a little bit smart. Sure, and after the second person that is like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, okay, I'm going to shut the hell up about this. And then like, it's a movie about like, but by then they know about it because there's cameras everywhere. And someone is like, ah, we got a leak. And the men in black are starting to roll in with the black vans and so on and so forth. What this is missing that the original idea has is the on the noseness of it. And I don't know kind of how to do that.
Go ahead, Zach. To offer a solution, I'm not pretending for a moment it's good, but you can just kind of lean into the on the noseness and he like brings it up immediately with everybody and immediately gets fucking, you know, like the whole like lasso around the neck, like, you know, fucking what's that guy, like, I'm gonna eat your fava bean liver thing, like,
oh, like Lecter. A Hannibal Lecter mask.
Hannibal Lecter, yeah, he's got the whole thing and he's brought to the Ministry of Truth, plugged into the memory machine, and they, you know, they're like, damn it, it didn't take, and you know, then he kind of goes fuzzy and then he wakes up again remembering a little bit more, and so we are along the ride with him as like every time, so it becomes a thriller by like the third or fourth time when he realizes they think he's re-educated, but for whatever reason it's not taking, and he just understands the rules of the game.
I get it. And so every time that they bring him in, they're convinced that it works. They're like, every time they're like, job well done, got it, put him back in his house.
Exactly.
But he wakes up and now has like memories not only of the clowns but also of the ecology professors that got deleted.
Or not even of just the mask and the drugs and the what, and so it's like slowly he becomes more aware, and then he has to go
and
on
every
a deeper,
time and yeah and every time yeah. that they use the eraser, it's actually imprinting, it's like leaving smudges in there. I see. Okay,
interesting. Okay. I mean, but like the third time they bring him in, it's just to blow a hole in his brain. Like, that's you can't do that to him
unless
times.
There's an inside there's somebody inside the ministry that's like putting the beta blocker in right before they put the other thing in, and it's stopping the process. So
can
it's
I
like,
okay,
Clara,
suggestion?
And this is the year of our Lord 2021. Is it so hard to believe that a totalitarian government could also be completely bad at their jobs?
Please,
yes,
fix this
it
idea,
is.
Sarah.
When it, no, I'm going to be serious for a second. It is you have that level of control.
I agree. But what were you going to offer,
like,
as an alternative?
How China does censorship and how the U.S. does it are different. End of serious point.
Yeah, what were you going to say as an alternative?
What I was going to say is what I like about this is that you have a guy, he makes a discovery, his memory gets adjusted, and he ends up in kind of like goes from being a clown to an accountant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But is forced into a situation where he needs to like do the original profession and realizes he's still incredibly good at it. Mm. Why am I good at this? And, you know, you have all of these people who are sort of shuffled around doing different jobs. The ecology professor is actually making smoothies now. And like the chef is now like a firefighter or whatever. And they have to like sort of unswap to sort of find their original like passions, vocations, et cetera, et cetera. And that could be like a more comedic version of this where, you know, the powers that be shuffled the board to make things more better for them. And everyone else needs to sort of get back to how things originally were so that like the society works.
I dig it. And I am here for the scene where the accountant rediscovers his inner clown when, because of course they're dressed Stepford Wivesy townie. And so he's got like a classic fucking hat. One of those like,
yeah, fedoras.
And of course he bumps it to the floor and then spends 15 minutes like bringing the house down, trying to pick that stupid hat back up.
And it would be like, funny.
Everybody's so happy.
It would be a funny scene of like him recreating the clown makeup and the clown getup with like items from his home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like he doesn't have white makeup, so he needs to use like, I don't know, maybe like some kind of food product.
It's like an Act One Spider-Man moment.
Yeah, flour. Yeah.
It's like an Act One Spider-Man moment where he's like, oh my God.
I love it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I need a costume for the superpower.
The most natural thought in the world.
I mean,
relatable.
Just a Florida man.
Right. Well. Is Florida Man the villain? Who is the villain here?
That's a good question. And
Big Tech?
Almost certainly Big Tech. I mean, we're a podcast, so the bad guy is capitalism.
Well, yes, obviously.
No, I think the real bad guy is like humanity's sort of desperate clinging to an idea of security that's impossible, and sort of, you know, trading any kind of mercy for some perceived sense of peace. And so totalitarianism.
That's real.
This one seems less economically oriented and more, and I know economics and power are like, you know, hard to pull apart, but this does feel like a more raw exercise of power than like faceless corporations trying to maximize the dollar. Oh.
Was that time?
That's time.
That is an especially loud time.
I guess in bonus time, because I just ate up that last chunk there. I'm curious, what would you call it?
Erased, switched up, assigned.
Something to do with like reconfigured, reconstituted, some tech thing.
Redistributed.
Redistributed. Ooh, there we go.
There it is. Yeah.
I was like, these are all directionally correct, but I think you nailed it.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for taking this little slice of life in 2021 and turning it into something a little bit more fantastically escapist.
It's one of these things where like the original thing is so farcical.
Yeah.
That you kind of need to blow it up. Like you kind of need to just go like even way more farcical. Mm-hmm. This is the only way to really engage with
it. The only thought I had there is that in this heightened sci-fi world, the only way that someone can speak the truth of it is to have a cancel conference that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like played up and is super on the nose, but that is how like our hero learns what's up.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Huh. Maybe something for the sequel.
Something for the sequel. There
sure
we go.
Enough. Well, hey, thanks for playing, and thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with more bad ideas. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.